referís? You, my dear Lord, Sarvalokasya, of all planets and their inhabitants, Surit,
the most well-wishing friend,
Priya,
the most dear,
Ishvara,
the supreme controller.
He
also.
Atma,
the Supreme Soul.
Guru,
the Supreme Teacher.
Jnanam,
the Supreme Knowledge.
Avishta Siddhi,
the fulfillment of all desires.
Tatapi,
still.
Lokaha,
persons.
Na,
not.
Bhavantam,
unto you.
Anadhihi,
because of blind intelligence.
Janati,
can know.
Santam,
situated.
Ridhi,
in his heart.
Vadakamaha,
because of being bewildered
by material lusty desires.
So translation, my Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone, the dearmost friend, the controller, the super soul, the supreme instructor, and the giver of supreme knowledge, and the fulfillment of all desires. But although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. So you can repeat, my Lord.
You are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone.
The dearmost friend.
The controller.
The super soul.
The supreme instructor.
And the giver of supreme knowledge.
And the fulfillment of all desires.
But although you are within the heart,
the foolish because of lusty desires in the heart,
cannot understand you.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Herein, the reason for foolishness is described. Because the conditioned soul in this material world is full of materialistic, lusty desires, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God, although the Lord is situated in everyone's heart.
Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati.
It is because of this foolishness that one cannot take instructions from the Lord, although the Lord is ready to instruct everyone, both externally and internally. The Lord says, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam ena mam upayanti te." In other words, the Lord can give instructions on devotional service by which one can return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, however, people do not take this devotional service. The Lord, being situated in everyone's heart, can give one complete instructions on going back to Godhead, but because of lusty desires, one engages himself in materialistic activities and does not render service to the Lord. Therefore, one is bereft of the value of the Lord's instructions. By mental speculation, one can understand that one is not the body but a spirit soul. But unless one engages in devotional service, the real purpose of life is never fulfilled. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eat with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are different items of Ananda, spiritual happiness, and spiritual variegatedness. Even though one may come to the platform of Brahma Bhuta and understand his spiritual identity by speculative knowledge, one cannot enjoy spiritual life without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is indicated here by the word Avishta Siddhi. One can fulfill the ultimate goal of life only by engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Then the Lord will give one proper instructions on how to go back home, back to Godhead. So, Tvam Sarvalokasya Surit Priyeshuro Yat Bhakuru Jnanam Avishta Siddhi Tatapi Loko Nobhavantamandatir Janati Santam Ridibhadakam Maha. So, Om Ganat Sumadakasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigarabe Namaha. Actually, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is showing his faithfulness to the previous acharyas. Because last night I was reading the purport of this verse written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is the Rasacharya. Rasacharya means he actually gives a lot of explanation of different intimate relationships between Radha and Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was analyzing this particular verse word by word and showing how the different rasas were mentioned in this particular verse, beginning with Shantaras. And of course you do have that, that's obvious, Shantaras is mentioned here, where the Lord is described as the controller, the super soul, supreme instructor, etc. These are all Shantaras. And then he showed how there was Dasharas in the verse, and then Sakyaras, and Vatsalyaras, and finally Madhuryaras. Very interesting. And then Prabhupada here sort of builds on that particular understanding of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur when he mentions here in his purport that one can live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, play with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he's going through all the rasas here. Dance with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meet with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Prabhupada says these are different items of Ananda, spiritual happiness and spiritual variegatedness. So anyway, it just like inspires me how Prabhupada is, let's say, expanding and faithful to the previous acharyas in his commentaries. And so, of course, when Srila Prabhupada would write his commentaries for the Srimad Bhagavatam, he'd be continually consulting with not only Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, but Baladeva Vibhushana's commentaries, and whenever possible, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other acharyas' commentaries. So, Prabhupada, this is a display of disciplic succession. How one is faithful to the previous acharyas and at the same time explaining things in such a way that the people who are his audience can understand and feel attracted to Krishna. So, just a little comment about that. So, here, the point is made in this verse that the Lord is in everyone's heart. Whoops. And there's verses in the Bhagavad Gita, one of which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport from the 18th chapter, Svara Sarva Bhutanam Radesha Arjuna Tishtati Ramayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Bhutani Maya, which is a very interesting verse. Not only does this verse state that the Lord is in everyone's heart, Ishwara, it's also called the controller, Sarva Bhutanam. And it's interesting, I mentioned the other day that the living entities are referred to as in the Bhagavad Gita as Bhuta, and it's all, which basically is a word that's only used to indicate the living entities. It's never used to indicate Krishna. Krishna is never referred to as Bhuta, but the living entities are referred to Bhuta. Of course, Bhuta in another context can also mean ghosts. You know, like Lord Shiva is called Bhuteshvara, who is the Lord of the ghosts. But so it's very interesting, if you analyze the nomenclature in the Bhagavad Gita, you can actually see that one distinguishes, or Krishna distinguishes between himself and the living entities by the nomenclature. So anyway, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, then Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati. So he's saying to Arjuna, I'm situated in their hearts. Ramayan Sarva Bhutane Yantra Rudani Maya. So he describes this material energy as a machine. The word for machine in Sanskrit is yantra rudani. They're situated on this machine made of the material energy. And Ramayan Sarva Bhutane, just like you have this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmante, Kona Bhagavan, Jiva Guru Krishna, Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bhishma. They're wandering, Brahmanda. It says, right, they're wandering on this machine, meditating, and I am directing this wandering. So does that mean that Krishna is responsible for our maya? Or our being an illusion? No, it doesn't mean that. Because that's also explained in the 15th chapter of the Gita, text 15, which I'm sure everybody knows. Sarvasya chahamri sanabhishto matlak smritir gyanabhavodam cha. First two lines. Sarvasya chahamri, I'm situated in everyone's heart. And I'm giving people what? Intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness, but according to their desire, that's free will. And if they don't desire Krishna, then Krishna also gives them intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And faith, this is mentioned in the 17th chapter of the Gita, he gives them faith according to their desire. And that faith is reinforced by the modes of nature. In the 17th chapter of the Gita, it's quite interesting. Arjuna asks the question that if one doesn't follow Shastra, beginning of the 17th chapter. He says, if one doesn't follow the Shastra, then where does one's faith come from? Or how is one's faith defined? And of course, Shastra here is the reference to the transcendental Shastras. I mean, many Shastras, according to Krishna himself in the Gita, are dealing with the three modes of nature, not specifically dealing with transcendence. Another famous verse, Trigunya Vishya Veda, Nishtragunya Bhavarjana, Nirdvandvo Nityusakvasto, Niryoga Shema Atmavad. That Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas are mainly dealing with Trigunya, the three modes of nature. Trigunya Vishya Veda. Vishya, that means the, basically Vishaya. Or ignorance. They're dealing with ignorance for the purpose of bringing people up. But Krishna says to Arjuna, Nirdvandvo, don't be caught up in the duality. Nidvasattva, you should be established in sattva, you know, transcendental goodness. Niryoga kshema, established in the self. So, but most people are under the modes of nature in this material world, and that is because of their desires. Everything's based on desire. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that this banyan tree is based on desire. You understand? Desire is actually what's causing the banyan tree. And therefore, because of one's desire, one doesn't have faith in the Lord. And Krishna describes, you know, Sharanana Purusha Dharavashasha Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mitchu Samsara Vartmani. Then, when it doesn't have faith, then they're put in the path of repeated birth and death, in the path of association with the modes of nature. So, getting back to the 17th chapter of the Gita, where Arjuna asks Krishna the question, you know, what is one's faith like? And of course, Krishna previously tells Arjuna that he makes people's faith strong according to what they want to worship. And so, how do you define one's faith if one doesn't have faith in transcendence or faith in the Vedic literatures? And then Krishna answers it a very interesting way. He says, according to the modes that one is in, one develops a particular faith. In other words, one's faith is known according to what mode you happen to be in, because these modes are all pervading within the world. And then Krishna talks about how people have faith. And this is very interesting, and also in regard to modern politics, because I was always wondering why people have faith in some particular leaders. And so Krishna states that those who have faith in the mode of goodness, material goodness, they have faith in the demigods. They worship the demigods. And faith in the mode of passion, does anyone know? Demons. The 17th chapter. They worship demons, or the demons are their heroes, the demons are their role models. So I was just thinking, you know, I've always been bewildered by certain people who win elections in the United States, who should remain nameless, and I was just wondering, how is this possible? And then Krishna answers that, because I'm not saying that anyone's a demon. But, you know, what is a demon anyway? I mean, basically we have a misconception based upon some movies we may have seen or cartoons or whatever when we were young about demons. You know, they generally have fangs and a tail with a fork, with a, like a little fork at the end. And, you know, the devil made me do it, as the Christians said, sometimes say. So a demon is someone who simply yachastra vidimusraja vartate kamakarata, who throws out the injunction of the Shastra, and also pravatim cha nivatim cha jnana vidur asura. That's actually Krishna's functional definition of a demon, right? Pravatim cha nivatim cha jnana vidur asura. Na vidur means doesn't know. So pravatim means the thing you're supposed to do. You know, what are we supposed to do? You know, worship the Lord, cultivate the mode of goodness, eat food in the mode of goodness. Nivatim, what are we not supposed to do? You know, obviously, you know, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. So they don't know what is to be done, as Prabhupada translates it. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So that's the definition of a demon. And of course, that doesn't mean we go out and sankirtan telling everybody they're demons. It will not be so effective. Nor should we actually see everyone as a demon. That is also not effective. We see everybody as a devotee, and they've just forgotten Krishna and they're under the modes of nature. The reason they're acting demoniacally rather than simply labeling them as an eternal demon is that they're under modes of nature. It's interesting. And these modes of nature are causing them to not be interested in positive and negative injunction, yam, niyam, you know, Ashtanga yoga stuff. That's what the modes of nature do. And so even devotees are sometimes influenced by the modes of nature. In fact, according to the Acharyas, the Those of the Kanishka Adhikaris particularly are influenced by the modes of nature because their faith is not strong. You know, they have their faith is many branch. You know, actually, you can distinguish between different grades of devotees. We're talking about Kanishka, Majjhima, and Uttama, based upon faith. A Kanishka's faith is very, very fragile. So, if someone is a Kanishka Adhikari, their faith can be disturbed by hearing something from someone else who is critical, some other philosophy. Very, very fragile faith. And then a Majjhima Adhikari has strong faith, but it's not absolutely strong. Actually, probably make the distinguish between the faith of the Majjhima Adhikari and the Uttama Adhikari. But an Uttama Adhikari never deviates. Majjhima Adhikari, you know, there can be a dangerous situation where his faith is threatened, like if he hears or reads the Sarvayi Radyabhasha. Just like we hear, there's injunctions even that a Mahabhagavat, if he hears the Sarvayi Radyabhasha, he can fall down. The Sarvayi Radyabhasha is the commentary on the Vedanta by Shankaracharya, because it's so full of misunderstanding meanings that are actually go against the Vedic injunction. So devotees can be understood to be of different levels according to their faith. So the question is, how can we build people's faith up so that they will give up their lusty desires as described here, or at least tolerate their lusty desires? It's not that they go away, but it's built into the body. You know, anger is built into the body. Lust is built into the body. It's part of the physical body that you have. But to tolerate, so how can you actually increase someone's faith, or transform someone's faith, or get rid of the modes of, or let's say, have them rise above the modes of nature? That is the question. And the only way, according to Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, is hearing. I mean, that Shushro Shradanasha, Vasudeva Katha, which is Shan Mahatsevi Avipra, Punya Tirtana Shevina. And the reason that works, you know, the hearing process works, is explained by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitam Prasanna. Mama Virya Samvido Bhavanti Vikarna Rasayana Kata Tajoshana Dasu Apavarga Vardhani Sadhava Thiravati Anukravashti. It's a famous verse which I'm sure some of you may know. That if we hear in the association of devotees, it's actually very important. Just like right now we're hearing about Krishna Kata in the association. Sitam Prasanga. Prasangam, that means, that emphasizes, just like prasanga. Sangam means like association, prasangam means a lot of association. Sitam, with those who are devotees, the sadhu. You know, establish an eternity, the sadhus. Sitam prasangam, mama virya sambhada. We hear about Krishna's, of course, in this particular verse, it's described about Krishna's heroic activities. Krishna's the greatest hero. Why is Krishna considered a hero? Actually, this is interesting. There was a discussion in Plato's Socratic dialogues about what a hero is. And sometimes he described that if you know you can beat your enemy, you're not a hero. Because you're not risking anything. But I don't go along with this definition. My definition of hero is someone who saves you. Not Plato's definition of hero. or he used Socrates in his dialogue, but anyway. So my definition is someone who could save you, someone who is your savior. He's a hero. Someone who is your role model. So Krishna, Satam Prasanga, Mama Virya Sambhado, to hear about Krishna's heroic activity, Mama Virya Sambhado, Bhavanti Ritkarna, when you take that Krishna Katha from the ear, Karna, Rit, to the heart, because the heart is where all these lusty desires are. That's a sitting place of lust, anger, greed. Right in the heart. Not necessarily the material, you know, gross heart, but in your heart. The soul, the coverings of the soul. Bhavanti Vritkarna Rasayana Katha. And you hear this, it actually cures the disease because it's Rasayana, it's medicine. Tasty medicine, rasa ayana means a taste. You know, rasa means taste. So rasa ayana means it's a tasty remedy. Just like some of us when we were young, we had untasty remedies, like castor oil. You ever take castor oil? No, sometimes your mother would give it to you. Not to me, not to you. And she would say, it tastes good. And it didn't taste good. So, Rasayana Katha. So this Katha of Krishna, Krishna Katha, is so tasty. And of course, as one progresses, in the beginning, one, we don't have a taste for these things, but after some time, it's such a taste for all Krishna Katha. Not just, you know, Rasa Katha, but all the Krishna Katha is there. I mean, just like, you know, I experienced like reading the Bhagavad Gita, which I probably read like a few hundred times by now. It's just nectar. It's just like pure, unadulterated nectar. Rasayana Katha. And then to Joshua Rasyoga Bhargavarmani. So one becomes, one progresses on the path of, Vartmani means path, Upavarga. That means you get rid of the Pavargas. You get rid of the miseries. Pa, ma, parishma. Actually, the material world is described by the acharyas, and they analyze this word pavarga in different ways, isn't it? Pa, palena, foam at the mouth, working hard, bhaya, fear, fainting. That's the material world. Pavarga vartmani. And then, then you've developed that faith, because here we're talking about faith in this particular class. Shada, and then you develop ratiya, the taste, and ultimately bhakti. Anukramishati, they follow one after the other. So the whole point is hearing. And if someone doesn't hear regularly, Prabhupada said they'll go away. You know, just like we talk about Nityam, Bhagavata, Sevya. Hearing or serving the Bhagavatam always. So if you hear from the Bhagavatam always and you hear regularly, then you'll stay in Krishna consciousness. And if you neglect your sadhana in the name of service to Krishna, then you'll go away. It's as simple as that. And so that's the way we overcome these lusty desires. And I think we have about a half minute left, which we probably won't have much time. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Like somebody was on a boat or they're on an island and they have an audio Bhagavad Gita and they listen to a devotee that said it like 10 years ago. But
great.
Recorded. Is that good? Versus going to college and listening to some.
It's the same. Whether you hear from of course there's no tapes anymore, but if you hear from an MP3 or you hear from someone who's physically present, there is no difference. Because the body is a machine anyway. You're not seeing the person. Just like I'm giving class, or trying to give a class. You can't see me. I'm not here. Oh my God, I have a mental disease. I'm not here. I'm directing the body, just like I drive a car, but you know, the soul is transcendental. So I'm using a machine to transmit the information to you. So if you use another machine like a MP3 player, isn't it the same? It's all both a machine.
Yantraru.